Now, in a few minutes, we will have a flashback. It's a by-request flashback, but I guess did we request this flashback ourselves?
Yeah, we want to hear it.
We want to hear this flashback because James Doohan, the guy who played Scotty, passed on today. And the man who played Scotty on the TV show Star Trek, and that's the part, I guess, that he's best known for. Wouldn't you say, Bud?
Well, what do you mean?
You know, when I ask you something like that, don't look at me like I'm a jackass.
Well, what are you talking about?
Isn't that the part he's best known for?
What else did he do? Isn't that the only one?
Yeah, that's it, man. The only thing he ever did was that. Hi, we need a guy named Scotty. Any of you guys any good at a Scottish accent? Yeah, I am. Okay, come on in. That's it, and then he did. What do you think he did?
He could have been selling cars.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Well, I don't...
Sit down, man, before you freaking fall down. All right, let me... music only on one? Oh, really? Okay. Harvey Wyman. Harvey, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your broadcast.
Harvey, we were talking earlier, and I just wanted to finish up on this discussion about great acting families. In other words, we've had the Barrymores.
Yeah, there have been an awful lot of great acting families. You mentioned just now the Barrymores. You also have the Bridges. There's a lot of them.
Let me see. Who else? So there's the
Well, there's the Lewis family. The Lewis family is an outstanding family.
The Lewis family, who?
Well, you start with Jerry Lewis, and then his son was Jeff Lewis, and Daniel Day-Lewis was the other one. And
what do you mean Daniel Day-Lewis was who?
Daniel Day-Lewis was related to Jerry Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis, the British guy.
Oh, so in other words, because he's got a British accent, Jerry Lewis couldn't be his grandfather. Is that it?
No. Are you telling me that Jerry Lewis is Daniel Day-Lewis's grandfather?
Yes. Look, Phil, Daniel Day-Lewis's grandfather is Jerry Lewis, but Daniel Day-Lewis was born in England. That's why he talks the way he does. Had he been born over here, because you're exposed to you're exposed to the English people.
What are you talking about, man? Daniel Day-Lewis isn't related to
Daniel Day-Lewis isn't related to him. Daniel Day-Lewis... Wait, now you're starting to piss me off. Daniel Day-Lewis is...
What do you mean? Daniel Day-Lewis is Jerry Lewis's grandson?
Yes. How many different languages do you want to see, we, Yavol, whatever. And Juliet Lewis and Julia Louise Dreyfus is also related to... I forget, but Julia Louise...
Okay, look, man. I was talking about the... Hold on, what do you want?
There's a kid on the phone.
Yeah?
Yes, Phil, this is R.C. Collins. This old man, he ought to get a piece of fat and slide off. Sounds like some old pervert. Probably getting on your show to lure young butt.
Why, you filthy little...
Where'd he go?
Hello? He's not there.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter to me. Anyway, Mr. Henry, I really like your program. I'm listening here from Bradley Military... Oh, someone's at the door. Hold on, Phil.
Sure.
Yes?
So, I'm a pervert. Get him down and bend over.
No, not the Vaseline!
1-800-449-8686. You know...
You shall kiss the gunner's daughter.
In any event, get him down. Tonight on the Phil Henry Show, we do have Austin Amarca. We're also going to play a flashback. We're very proud of this flashback because it has to do with James Doohan, who played Scotty. And speaking of RC, who was just there, he was on this flashback. So we'll listen to that. Herb Sewell is also going to be joining us. Apparently, that guy that was popped in the septic tank underneath a woman's latrine, the mugshot's been released, and the story that he laid on the cops. You know what I said when I read the story? I said, that's a pretty good try. It's a pretty good try. He went down there looking for his wedding ring that had dropped in. So he's in the can, and he's changing his clothes. Cops say, why are you changing your clothes in the women's can? Because the men's can was busy. All right. Good enough. Changing my clothes, my wedding ring fell off and went right down into the tank under the toilet. Okay. Naturally, I crawled down in there to get it. And it just so happens that he went down there to get it. A woman was coming in, and he was staring up through the hole in the toilet at her. So the cops aren't buying it. I don't know why. It sounds completely feasible to me. I know I'd crawl down into a toilet tank looking for my wedding ring if it... Come on, guys. You know, your wife, you know how women are with that. It's very important. Now, a wedding ring to a man is an important thing. I'm not saying that symbolism is not important to all of us, but a wedding band is of particular value, I think, to a woman because she, to her, I think women are more tied into that kind of symbolism. So if you lose your wedding ring, well, you know, honey, she's going to flip. You know it. So, ladies, I want you to know something. That's how frightened we are that you may really go off on us if we lose our wedding bands, that we'll crawl into dung to get it out. We'll go down into a septic tank. Now the guy goes home and says, honey, I crawled into about 16 gallons of just wet diarrhea to get that wedding band. You pervert. Oh, well, thanks very much. Thank you. Hey, that's what I call love. I go down there to get the wedding ring, and I'm a pervert, am I? Well, you know, you could have got another wedding. Oh, I could have got another wedding ring. Well, how about if we just take that, see that 3-carat rock that I gave you? Yeah, here, give it to me. There, yeah, I just threw it in the pool. Now it's gone. Well, we can just go get another one. The question is not so much whether a guy's going to go down and get... What if a woman dropped her wedding band down there? Her 3-carat diamond that her hubby got her?
She'll be doing some swimming.
That's right. That's right, bud. All right, 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Cowboy Jim is on with us tonight. Margaret Gray with a Hollywood update on Colin Farrell. And also... Believe it or not, today is the 35th anniversary, not the 20th anniversary, bud. You see, every time there's an anniversary, it's not just the 20th anniversary.
Well, I understand.
In other words, when we say it's an anniversary, you always think, oh, it must be the 20th. Why the 20th?
Because that's the one.
No, it ain't the one. This is the 35th. It was 20 years since we landed on the moon. You know when we landed on the moon? Then it was 1985, Jack. We landed on it way before that.
The 20th anniversary.
1969 is 20 years ago.
As far as I can tell.
Anyway, we have on a guy who Bud got. Who is this guy? Put the helmet on Neil Armstrong? So he's a big NASA technician. Oh, that'll be exciting. This is the guy that screwed the helmets on the guys before they went up into space. So we'll be talking to him. And more, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. The Phil Hendry Show. Are you there?
Yeah, right here. I was just thinking up. A nickname for Mike Schaefer would be face or something like that, but I guess that...
What are you screaming for, man?
I didn't know if you could hear me, but I was thinking...
Hold on for a minute, okay? Just back off the line a little bit. All right, so...
Because I could...
Don't scream, dude, all right?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to... Oh, because I left... We were just over at City Walk, and I don't know whether you can hear me.
Okay, we can hear you fine. If you're on a car phone, we can hear you fine.
Okay.
All right. So what's up?
I just wanted to know if you wanted to get a piece of what's been going on. I don't know if you heard or not. Did you hear?
Heard about what?
Well, we got a pretty good pool going. Do you want to get a piece of it?
A pool about what?
Oh, my God. You didn't hear about it.
No, what happened? I mean that...
Oh, my God. James Doohan. Check this out, man. I got... Bud, over there.
What are you going to do with it?
Over there, Bud. I got Bud Dickman's over here, Phil. We got some chips and dip. We're going to be watching some Star Trek reruns and everything on account of we want to see James Doohan when he was younger because he turned 80. And anyway, the word is that he is married, okay?
And James Doohan, who's the guy that played, what is it? Excuse me. Excuse me. Scotty? Is that it?
Scotty? Yeah, what do you got, a cold?
Yes, I have a cold.
God, you went, Scotty? You okay?
I'm fine, man. I got a cold.
Okay, anyway, James Doohan is the guy what played Scotty on the Star Trek TV show, which was not as good as Star Wars, whatever, but it's not bad if you're, you know, sitting at home and everything, when, like when I had dialysis.
Right.
Okay. He's 80 now, okay?
Got it.
All right, and he married this woman, what is now she's 43. They've been married. I mean, think about that. They've been married for about 3 years. Anyway, the word is, and I just got it from, you know, Pete Pelmo?
Yeah, the guy that washes, that used to wash cars at your dad's business?
Right. Pete got it off. He got it from some people. The word is they're going to have a baby.
Okay, James Doohan and his wife.
He's 80.
He's 80.
She's 43.
She's 43, and they're going to have a baby.
Come on, man.
Come on, man, what?
We're taking odds on whether the kid's Mongo or not.
What do you mean you're taking odds on whether...
Oh, come on. James Doohan is 80. She's 43. I'm saying I'm giving 3-1. By the way, is Taylor there?
Yeah, he's right here.
Tell him that I got his bet. Because he called it in before the...
What are you doing? Are you betting on this? He's going, yeah?
Yeah, I got his $20. Anyway, the word is that they're getting married.
Well, what do you mean you're taking odds on whether the kid's Mongo?
80 and 43? Figure it out, man. Damn. The kid's going to come out of there.
Wait. James Doohan is an 80-year-old man. His wife is 43. That's still plenty of time. Very young. Very young.
You know, that can only come from a guy that's 47. Yeah, very young, sure. And I suppose, are you and your wife having a baby?
I beg your pardon?
Are you and you heard me. I don't stutter. You and your wife having a baby. Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
Check this out. Just stand in front of the mirror. Is there a mirror there?
Yeah, I'm in a radio studio, man. That's one thing we always have plenty of. Mirrors.
Well, get a pocket mirror or something.
Let me get this one. Okay, I got a pocket mirror.
Prop it up in front of you.
Okay.
Now take both of your fingers.
What is so funny?
Just do it.
Okay.
Now pull your eyes back and stick your tongue out.
What is that?
Mongo, Mongo.
Anyway, what do you mean you bet $20 with that freaking wild case of a dialect, that kid with no kidney? Taylor's in on $20, pull my eyes back and stick my tongue out. What does he want now?
Damn.
What do you want, okay?
Look, I only got one, and I got less chance of Mongo kids on account of it. And all I...
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, don't hang up, man.
Thank you very, very much. James Doohan, who plays Scotty in the movie Star Trek, the television series Star Trek, who played Scotty, is 80. His wife's 43. R.C. Collins, out of Chatsworth High, I'd like to say, is taking bets on whether the kid's Mongo or not. And he's given 3-1. He was offering you, what, 3-1? Very cold, man. Very wrong. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Very cold and very, very wrong.
Oh, live a little.
What do you mean, live a little?
Come on. Loosen up. Hey, Phil.
What?
Do this.
All right.
Drop your jaw.
Wait a second, man.
Just do it. Just drop your jaw. Now look in the mirror.
Get out of here, will you?
Mongo!
What a turd. A major turd has awoken in the American experience. His name, R.C. Collins. What a cold bastard. And you know, that little baby is probably a very healthy baby. Do we know? I don't know.
We know anything about this guy's kid, yes or no?
Bud?
Look it up, Mr. Hall.
I want information about James Doohan's child. Now, you were 47 when that bit was aired. That means that was 20 years ago. So you know...
It wasn't. It was six. I mean, it was five.
Oh, five. Well... I want information about Mr. Doohan's child. It's five now. If that kid's got a pan face, you're forgiven. But if the kid came out normal, regular ears, legs, everything, the trunk the same size as, you know, the head is smaller than the trunk, all that stuff, then, brother, you are in a deep, deep world of hurt. It's a big do sandwich, Henry, and you're taking a bite.
Anyway, James Doohan passed on at the age, well, of 85, right? 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up on the 29th, we are going to be having another webcast. And our webcast will include a special mystery MC. That's right, a special mystery MC of our webcast on the 29th. Now, if you'd like to get a view of our webcast, all 3 hours of the show on three separate cameras here in the studio, you go to www.philhenryshow.com and you sign up for one. It's only $6.95, a backstage pass, that is. And that gives you access not only to our webcast, but also to all of the archive material on our site and anything else that one might think they have to pay for, that you have access to it. Now, here's the stuff you don't have to pay for. Actually, I don't know what it is. I think everything. Well, the homepage you don't have to pay for. Anything else you click on probably costs. It's only $6.95. It's worth it. The Backstage Pass, the deepest archive of radio comedy probably in the history of the universe, is on our site. And it's all stuff that we created, we wrote. You dig what I'm saying? It ain't from the Rock Comedy Network. You know, I don't put out a best of CD with somebody else's stuff on it. Neil. Now, I just want you to know that all you have to do is go to www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Speaking of Miami, I got a letter that was forwarded to me from our Miami affiliate. Yesterday's show included a program with, as you know, Art Griego, and Mr. Griego was saying that, you know, there are many pilots who are very, very good pilots. The fact that they, you know, are not allowed to have a job because they may have, well, let's say they're schizophrenic or they might, you know, have a problem with Parkinson's. Why can't they work? And so anyway, someone wrote our Miami affiliate saying that they're going to write to the FCC and they're going to challenge this program, this broadcast, based upon the fact that there are a lot of dumb people out there and they may be worried. This was the cat's thinking. Get this. That these people will be on a plane. They'll think back to the show that I did with Art Griego about a guy up there with schizophrenia. And suddenly in the middle of the flight, they'll freak out and cause a security problem. And the plane will crash as the result of them. Now, this is the circuitous path that this guy had to travel to get to this. I'm writing the FCC. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Herb Sewell joins us now from his home in Pasadena. Herb, I wanted to get you on only because, forgive me, well, you're going to have to understand that when it comes to sexual perversions and crimes against nature, you're our go-to guy.
I understand that, Phil. I understand that to the manner I'm born. Yeah. And especially since I'm no longer incarcerated for it. So.
Now, well, let me tell people. Does it bother you when I tell people what you've done?
No, it doesn't bother me, really, when you tell people what I've done. I mean, I've, you know, obviously I did it, you know, so I can't really deny what I've done, you know. And as I say, Phil, I've done it, and the world will always revile me for it. So, you know, I find my succor where I may. And for those of you out there who never took, you know, much more than remedial English, succor is mostly a comfort. It doesn't have anything to do with sucking something. Because I always get that in a little...
Yeah, okay, fine. Let me just say that Herb was at... He was incarcerated in a forensic psychiatric hospital for crimes of against children and women, child molestation, and so forth. Correct?
That is correct, Phil, yes.
All right. I want to ask you, this isn't quite as serious as that. It's just a little bit wiggier. This guy who went into the toilet tank...
Oh, did you read about that? That was fascinating. Did you read about that?
Yeah, I was just talking about it on the air. The guy that went down to the toilet tank?
Yeah, absolutely fascinating case. You know, he told the police that he lost his wedding ring. And, you know, there's an old saying, to any port in a storm. In other words, to most people, the casual listener, they might say, well, any port in a storm in terms of your alibi. But to my way of viewing, and those of us who are fans of, shall we say, the more exotic perversions, any port in a storm may just be right down through the hole of a toilet into the tank. You know. But no, seriously, Phil, I think that the man has possibly two different sets of problems. And when I was at Atascadero, I was a patient there, but I was a trustee, a doctor's assistant, and I was able to see the case file of a great many men. One of the men that I thought was very fascinating, you might have heard of him, is Edward Calhoun. And he was the man who immersed himself in fecal matter for about 8 or 9 hours a day. You heard about that, didn't you?
No, I did not.
You didn't hear about Edward Calhoun?
No, Edward Calhoun.
Oh, yes, yes. He would immerse himself. He would sleep. He would sleep in it. He would sleep in it. He would sleep in runny diarrhea.
Okay, I can't. Let's not even. I don't even want to. This guy's thing is not having to do with that, though, does it?
Well, you never know, Phil. And pardon me, I know that this is the dinner hour. You know, I thought he was actually helping someone's appetite out there. Randall, if you're listening. No, I can tell you that...
Look at her. Keep the shtick for me, and you just do your thing, okay?
I understand that.
Because, you know, you were charged with some pretty serious crimes.
That is true, absolutely.
You were charged with hurting children, weren't you?
That is correct, Phil, yes.
And to come on my program and make a big freaking joke about all this stuff, I think it's sick. I think people like this, you know, look, at obviously this is a victimless crime.
Well, and you would get an argument from a woman whose bum this man was staring at while she was attempting to perform her daily duty. You know? But,
would you stop it?
I forgive me, forgive me. Forgive me, Phil, please. Please forgive me.
You know, you were in Atascadero, electroshock, insulin shock, attempts at chemical castration, because you hurt a lot of people, children and women, didn't you?
That is correct, Phil, yes.
And for you to come on here and start laughing about...
Well, Phil, if I could say one thing.
Yes.
I don't think what this man is charged with doing is anywhere near as bad as what I did, you know. And forgive me, I don't mean to make light of anything that I might have done. I am making light of what this man is doing. All he did was take a little bit of a swim, shall we say, it goes to show you that we all have to swim in the same water, though, don't we? you don't find that funny?
No, I don't.
Well, Phil, this is a man who is obviously... got all manner of problems in terms of voyeurism. These are boundary issues, you have to understand. People that do this have no boundaries. They have no ability to differentiate between where they end and other people begin. This goes back to his childhood, as does my problem goes back to my childhood. When my mother tortured me, you know, my mother tortured me at least 8 hours a day for a solid year once, using a variety of ice water enemas, burning me with matches, burning me with cigarettes, even at one point hanging me upside down for about 6 hours, burying me, using me as a float when we were in a shipwreck. She actually used me as a life preserver. She just wrapped me around herself and didn't care whether I breathed or not. Tried to use me one time to try to stop up a leaky gas valve in our kitchen. Just said, put your lips over that valve and just suck. And I said, certainly. I didn't know. I was a child. And so...
Your mother just tortured you.
Absolutely tortured me. And that's why I turned out the way I did. But
by the same token, you don't want to talk about your mother, so, you know...
No, I don't want to talk about my mother.
All right, well, I'm not going to talk about your mother. You never want to talk about her. She's the one that tortured you, but you never want to talk about how it might have had something to do with the fact that you did all these things.
No, I never want to talk about that. You never talk about your mother. Never talk about mother.
No, I'm not going to talk about your mother. I'm not going to talk about your mother. You don't want to talk about her? I won't talk about her. What'd you do 8 years at Atascadero for? What'd you find out from the doctors?
I found out that mother was a big source of my problems, yes.
But you don't want to talk about how that was bad and how she hurt you. You still go and see her, don't you?
Yes, I see mother. Every man should see his mother. A man that doesn't see his mother is not a man. A man that doesn't pay attention to his mother is no man at all.
Even though she tortured you with ice water enemas? Don't you understand?
Phil, you're beginning to disturb me, and when I get disturbed, I start thinking about 12-year-old boys. No, I don't think...
Don't you blame me for anything you're going to do. You go ahead and start doing that stuff, I'm going to call the cops. I know where you live.
That's dirty pool. I gave you your address. I gave you my address because I wanted you to forward me that Penthouse magazine with the article in it. How dare you use that as blackmail?
Well, I'm doing it. Get him out of here, bud. Sick, twisted freak. All right, thank you very much, Herb. There aren't too many shows where you have a news correspondent who signs off and then you say to him, boy, he's a real sick, twisted freak, isn't he? How about if you're watching the news, right, and you're watching, like, say, Shepard Smith, and he goes to Carol McKinney, and she's covering maybe or he goes to Greta, and she's covering the whole Aruba thing, right? And he goes, well, thanks a lot, Greta, you sick, twisted freak. She didn't do nothing wrong. She just did a report. I would dig that. All right, 1-800-449-8686, coming up tonight. Austin Amarca, a summer camp unlike any summer camp you've ever heard of, here on The Phil Hendry Show. All right, here's some email on The Phil Hendry Show. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
Enlarge your manhood overnight. Can you give me the real stuff? Where'd you get this?
The email.
Not the spam. Keep it going all night with Electrolube.
Give me the... All right.
I say, give me the mail? Give me the mail, not spam mail.
It's all, just all in there. That's all there was. It's only these two.
Yeah, these two letters? Okay, great. Kudos, Phil, for finding a good use for the can opener sound effects. Last night we had Lloyd or whoever the hell it was. Who was it? It was Mavis. She was using a can opener to open up cans of cat food to protest the way senior citizens are treated. He said having Lloyd or Harvey or whoever was trying to cut their own throat with a can opener was sort of a stretch. Even though Mavis was using Clara's old voice, she provided one of the more entertaining bits I've heard in recent days. You really had me laughing along with Johnny Depp at the thought of Mavis's beak in a can of Sheba. Best, Jim Sweeney, moderator of the Phil Hendry Yahoo group. Well, now, ain't we all just critics? I appreciate it, Jim. Moderate our Yahoo group. That's, hey, dude, I'm working my ass off here. By the way, the voice you used is very reminiscent of an early Mavis. Plus, the can opener, I think, was a bit of a stretch. Anyway, thanks, pal. Phil, just back from the whirlwind European holiday I took, which included getting robbed blind while I slept in my 5-star hotel room and then having a Cold War flashback experience in a Prague police station the next morning. In short, a romantic, beautiful, ancient city in a real toilet of a country, the Czech Republic. In any case, I just wanted to mention that for some odd reason, the Czech accent is such that they all sound just like Raj Fanin. Don't ask me. Sincerely, Robert, P.S. I did eat in a McDonald's when I was there, and yes, I supersized. Here's a cat that was over in Czechland, man. Got robbed blind in a 5-star hotel. All those old commie countries, they're still working it out. Keep an eye out, man. My in-laws go to Russia because they like that whole romantic thing about going to the Kremlin. Everything with the Kremlin. Well, you go to Russia, and it's nice, and they have... The people are fine, but they've... There's a lot of slobs. Just watch out. And they drink heavy over there, and they can't hold their liquor. Other than that, it's great. Phil, where on the site can we get an original, not FCC version of the Ted Bell jingle as an MP3 so I can play it to friends without the bleep crap? You cannot, and I'm sorry about that. The original... Well, let me just tell you, the original Ted's Beverly Hills jingle, someday we will make available, but right now I can't do it on my site, and I don't really know why. It's not really obscene. It is a it's sort of innuendo, and I have to apologize for that, but it's really out of my hands. And that's all I'm going to say about that, so just bug off. Now, but we really care, and we love you. Dear Phil, a couple of years ago I saw an episode of Frontline about the Berga soldiers. I researched it and found out a little more at the time, but hadn't thought too much about it. Just finished reading Roger Cohen's book. That's the book I told you about where they took American Jewish soldiers at the end of the war. Now, most soldiers, American soldiers, put in POW camps, but because these guys were Jewish soldiers, at the end of the war they put them in a concentration camp. And these soldiers didn't know what was going on. They were American soldiers. They figured they get POW treatment. Instead, they're being starved and beaten up by these Gestapo guys. And that's the story I told you about this commandant of this camp with this scumbag German named Willie Hack. One of the Jewish soldiers, and I forget his name, vowed that when he got out, he was going to find Willie Hack and he's going to kill him. Now, at the end of the war, once our guys were freed from this camp at Berga, this soldier gets out of a sickbed in a British hospital, and before he gets any food, gets any water, he goes down to the middle of the town, gets some guns, gets some knives, gets some Mercedes-Benz, and they say, where you going, Lieutenant? I says, I'm going to go find Willie Hack, and I'm going to kill him real slow. So this guy takes off looking for Willie Hack. Never did find him. But that's in a book called Soldiers and Slaves, and available now in paperback. Hey, Phil, I read the essay you wrote on screening your calls. I've noticed that the number of rejected callers is higher than the people who get on the air. Yeah? This is from a guy named Lawrence. Lawrence, you're a good kid. Lawrence is a nice kid. He's viewing. He don't have no eyes. He can't see, bud.
Oh, yeah. Mike, he's blind.
Yeah. And he said he peed himself listening to High Diving for the Blind yesterday.
Why? He's blind. Wouldn't he feel that's a hate crime?
No, he did not feel it was a hate crime. Anyway, he says he notices that the number of rejected callers is higher than the number of people who get on the air. How does he know that?
Because he's blind.
What's that got to do with it?
Blind people figure stuff out better.
What do you mean blind people figure out stuff? How can a blind guy know whether more callers are getting on the air than are screened? Or less or whatever?
Because they get better sense. They can see things in the future.
What are you, nuts or something? You're talking about that bullcrap that says that blind folks can hear better, which is total bullcrap.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry to have to ruin your, that bit about blind folks being able to hear better than most people. B, capital B, capital S. Bull.
You gonna say it?
All right, next letter. Dear Phil, I heard Glenn Beck doing your thing the other day. This time he was ripping off your Mavis Leonard Clara Bingham character. Glenn Beck sucks. I hate him so very deeply. Sincerely, Craig Kitchen, COO of Premier Radio Networks. All right, now, we'll be right back. We have, of course, coming up, Austin Amarca on The Phil Hendry Show. If you have a Phil Hendry fan in the family or you're a fan of the show, you know, it's not really hard to get them something that they might like. In our souvenir shop, we have everything from, you know, things that you can drink out of, like shot glasses and coffee mugs. Why can I not get to my... There it is. I'm just kind of trying to click over to my own souvenir shop. As well as clothing, like the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, the brand new Teds of Beverly Hills Miami Resort shirt. Now, this is in honor of the new Teds of Beverly Hills of Miami. And you can pick this up on our website, as well as the classic Teds of Beverly Hills shirt. I don't know if we got any more Honolulu shirts left, but we had a few of the Honolulu shirts that were in honor of the Honolulu store. In addition, Teds of Beverly Hills Steakhouse shot glasses and the 25th anniversary Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt, a Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, his favorite saying is, you know, we take a peek over the shoulder of the police. You can get one of those. You can also get the travel mug, the Jay Santos mug. It's a 15-ounce mug made of virtually indestructible polycarbonate something or other. And then the Citizens Auxiliary Police sweatshirt. We also have a compass watch that fits on your belt so that if you're not a lesbian, by putting that on there, well, people will think you are. Now, I'm only kidding. If you're a guy, they're not going to think you're a lesbian.